sweet golf show chords. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, a little live golf show on a weekday for you. Now, I should preface this with I am ready, locked in to do an awesome golf show, but the two of us could be like a closer that's out there for like their seventh out. Might be getting a little gamey. Been on the air for 3 hours already. So just, I feel like that's a good preface. It's fair.
It's bad for the podcast. Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
How are you today, buddy?
Oh, I'm great. How are you today? That's the real question.
I'm doing fine. Looking forward to a weekend coming up here. I know all the people that are texting in throughout the week. I want you to text in something different. I want you to text in where you're teeing it this weekend, your big plans. I know some people texted us. They're part of their plans.
Mm-hmm.
But please text in again. Text us where you're teeing it, where you're golfing this weekend, your plans, your trips. Let us know, because there's a few weekends left in summer, maybe like five left maybe before September, which is a terrifying feeling. So get your text in. Tell us where you're teeing it. Checking out the weather for this weekend. Looks okay. Looks a little bit, I would say, variable.
Mm. Fitting for the Open Championship.
It's, you know, tomorrow is going to be an absolute peach of a day. 25 and sunny, a nice, you know, wind, little 11 northwest wind, so maybe mm-hmm. a little nice breeze going out there. Sunday, a little bit more touch and go. We got a 40% chance, a little risk of thunderstorm, feels like 31, a little bit mucky, bring the gold on. It'll be a little bit muggy out there.
That's good for me. Mm-hmm. I have switched my range mornings, well, just this week because we don't have golf show on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So that is where I'll be doing my work at the range. And by that, I mean corralling my future golf prodigy.
So I am.
So I'm just happy about the weather. That's all I'm telling you.
I'm a single man this weekend. My wife is out of town. If there's anyone that plays at a beautiful golf course across the country,
wow,
that wants me to come play
across
with them,
the country, you're hopping on a bird.
Keep that to the GTA within the reach of the subway. If anyone's looking for a single to fill out their foursome, I play fast.
Hey, PSA,
so,
never hurts.
Text in 590-590. I'd love to play some golf this weekend, and I don't have a tee time.
Okay.
Or a car.
I will pick one. I'll pick one of those texts we had from earlier. Somebody telling us they're playing at Inverkip Highlands. Can't say I've heard.
Inverkip Highlands.
Apparently, I mean, this could be a voice-to-text situation, so I'm not going to pretend to know that that's necessarily what it's called, but apparently there is an Island Green par 4 there, which this guy or girl, whoever texted in, is excited to play. So keep them coming. Love hearing where you're teeing it.
Inverkip Highlands is in Inverkip, Ontario. So that makes
a lot
of sense.
Fitting.
I've never heard of Inverkip, Ontario. Have you?
Nope. That feels that's kind of, I got to be honest, I'm floored neither of us have. Usually we have a pretty good touch, one or the two of us.
That's really like in our comfort zone.
Where
like
roughly
is it? Small Ontario towns. It is near Woodstock, Ontario.
Okay. I should. You know what, actually? It's entirely possible I could play there because I have a bud
Ingersoll way.
Okay. I have a bud who lives in Woodstock, and he is the king of come play some course in a town we have not heard of with me. So entirely possible I'll get out to Inverkip Highlands.
Scott from Toronto, Summit Club Championship weekend.
Woo!
That'll be a big one.
Can
fellas.
You imagine the tee shots? And I mean, you know, championship weekend at every course, big one, but at Summit specifically, just some pressure packed, towering bombs of drives off of big time elevated tee boxes.
Ben from Bradford is playing Hockley Valley Saturday, Sunday. I've never actually played there. I've heard it's hard. Heard there's a lot of blind ones, some quirky holes. I've never actually made the trek out there to play. Maybe I should do it. I think it's near Orangeville, Hockley Valley. So that's one of them I got to try.
That sounds about right in terms of the location. Morning Grinders, spending my Saturday morning golfing at Rockaway Golf Club in Kitchener, Ontario, home of golf legend Mo Norman. Matt from Kitchener. Mo Norman, like, we don't need to do it now, but the problem is we're not the guys to do it.
Yeah, sure.
Like, we go out to Copetown. We have heard amazing Mo Norman stories out there. You know, our boy Rick Young would have some great Norman stories. So, like,
call up Lauren Rubenstein. Sunday
morning, Lauren is calling, baby. Used to be for the golf show, not anymore. Not that he can't come on, just we don't do it on Sunday mornings. In terms of that, I'd love to do a pod just giving you all of those tales. Any others here that you're seeing?
We're getting tons.
Flying in.
Curtis from Edmonton here. We were just out in that neck of the woods Lacombe, playing, what was it, Pine Hill that we played?
Pine Hills. Yeah. I keep wanting to call it Pine Valley because it was so nice.
Pine Hill, an incredible course. I would like to play a lot more in Central Alberta. About to drive to Panorama to play the best course in Western Canada, Grey Wolf, twice this
weekend. I did hear a few people checking Grey Wolf.
If you guys come
us.
Out Western Canada again, it's a must play. Google Hole 6, Cliffhanger. Hey now.
Sounds tough. Just doubling down on Hockley Valley. You will love it. There are no sand traps on the whole course.
What?
Brian in Orangeville saying that.
I'm golfing with the Oakville Dads group at Royal Ontario this afternoon. Gonna be fun, boys.
Is there a... Just gonna throw the bat signal out there. Is there a Burlington Dads golf group? And would you like me to be a part of it?
Oshawa... Curtis and Oshawa, weekend plans. Hospital to have our baby boy, Kane, hopefully. Well, good luck to you.
Good luck to you.
Good luck to you, sir.
It'll be very fitting. I had my child while watching a major in a hospital, mm-hmm. so you can do the same. Good luck to you, and it'll actually be coffee golf time, should it be an early morning one, which they can be. So, happy wishes to everybody there, for sure.
Yep. So should we talk about the Open?
One last one. Yep. Duke from Scarborough heading to TPC Toronto.
Oh.
Right now. One of our favorites. Impossible to go wrong. Yeah.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Have a day.
Say hi to Decker.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, we don't need to do a PSA for them, but anywhere within the GTA, it's basically an hour to get there.
More or less, yeah. I'm out in Burlington, and it's like an hour 10.
It's a spectacular spot.
Yeah.
And it's just going to get better.
It really is. It's only getting better. And the three different courses, very, very different. I say it all the time. The Hoot is unlike anything you see in this kind of part of the world. So please keep them coming. We definitely want to hear from you on the text line.
We'll get to more of these in the back half
of
the show.
Yes, we will. And in the back half of the show, we should probably mention bit of a decent guest.
Oh, yeah.
We should maybe mention who's going to come on.
Go ahead. You announce it.
Rocco Mediate is going to join us. Obviously, he knows about the pressure of playing at majors. John Rahm had some comments. I don't know if we want to jump right into that or if you want to do your Lynx golf thing, but
I just...
Yeah, we'll save Rahm.
I think Rahm into Rocco is a very relevant conversation about the size
pressure
of pressure
and all that,
in groups. I feel somewhat bad about this take, but I really don't like playing Lynx golf, and I'm finding out here that I really don't like watching Lynx golf.
You've crept closer and closer to this take every year I've known you. You're like, it's not my favorite. You just hate it.
I do. Like I like the stakes. I really do.
For sure. How could you not?
I like the stakes of a major, clearly. And the fact that Brian Harman eagled 18 to go into the weekend
with this reporter dwarfing over him.
I know. He looks so small. But I just, I don't think it's appealing to my eye. When I look at the hole, all the holes look very, very similar. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Lynx golf. It looks pretty burnt out. There's some pop bunkers along the side and then fescue.
Another flat one with a big bunker and, fescue.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
It's not the most appealing style of golf to me. It's, I don't really like playing it. Okay. I am a North American golfer. I guess you could say that I'm even more Americanized. I like a Parkland course.
Love Scotty Scheffler and his resting America face.
I like a Parkland course. I like just a normal, nice layout that's not tricky. And if when you hit a ball in this kind of spot, you know what you're going to get off the club. It's just, to me, not the same sport. And a couple times a year, I'm fine with it, but I'm just really not into it.
So I thought about this because you gave me this on morning show, and I did just kind of poo-poo it because I didn't agree with it. But I thought more about it, and I think what it is, and I want to be clear, I'm not calling you a casual here. You're far from it. Mm. But I think with Lynx golf, it is really not situated to the volume is on, I'm looking at my phone, maybe I'm dozing in and out of sleep. Oh, look at this. Okay. You have to really be paying attention to understand what guys are trying to do on any given hole. You like it, to give it like a music.
You call me casual.
No, I'm not. No. Because I'm the same way, McKee. When I'm just watching on my couch and I'm just on my phone, it is way less compelling than Augusta or a US Open course or anything like that. But when it is time to lock in and, okay, Rory's on, I'm really following him, or whatever it is that makes you kind of lock in on it, I feel like it is just as, if not more enjoyable because of all the questions. But I do totally see where you're coming from, and let's be honest, even those of us who are not casuals, that's how a lot of people watch a lot of their golf, is being on their phone and you're sending text and you're, what's happening? Okay, cool. He's about to hit. Like, there's a lot of downtime in the sport. It is a second screen sport almost for a lot of people. And if you're not watching with the volume on, like even here, we have it on in front of us and we know what's happening, but I don't really know what's happening because I have no clue about the hump these guys are playing to or a mound they need to get it over. You really need it explained to you. And that's why I think you lose the most not being there. So I don't agree with you, but I totally understand how you get to where you're at.
Yeah. And so there you go. It's not the most appealing thing to my eye. So that's
fine. There's nothing wrong with that. My other question for you is, will it still be your least favorite major when the Saudi Open is the fifth major in 2025?
Yes.
Okay.
Because at least they won't be playing links.
They won't.
It'll
be Augusta in the desert. Yeah. Actually, I would not. Would you put it past them to just build Augusta there?
No, I would not.
Honestly, they can just steal it in the middle of the night. They got the resources. They could do it. So I'm here for your take. I love, I won't call it a zag because I think a lot of people do agree with you. But yeah, I'm very, very here for that. In terms of what we've seen, maybe the worst thing, okay, that's too much, but it's also not as bad a thing as I saw today. Was Brian Harman make an eagle on 18. That is not what we needed. That is decidedly not what we needed. Yeah. We needed Brian Harman to go Ricky Fowler and make a 8 or a 9 on 18.
We did.
Not make a 3. Now he has a 5-shot lead over Tommy Fleetwood, who has yet to start his final round, and Antoine Rosner, French international, who has also yet to start his round.
Yeah, like if you could have drawn up the least compelling outcomes for the first 2 days of the tournament, Brian Harman 5-shot lead would probably be in the top 5.
It's tough because it's not even, honestly, if it was even our boy, Christo Lamprecht, 5-shot lead, at least it's like, whoa, yeah, this 6'8 guy, it's amateur like, oh, out guy, of nowhere.
Like, oh, this really solid, boring lefty who just is always in the top 20 at tournaments.
Hits it short, yeah, makes good putts.
Gets up and down,
yeah.
Good lag putter, yeah. Like, oh my God, what a thrill.
So
again, sorry to Brian.
No, I guarantee you they're not listening. So outside of Fleetwood, I'm just going to list names and you tell me when to stop when someone else is, I won't even say sexy, just compelling to you. So we got Brian Harman not doing it for us. Tommy Fleetwood. We like that.
Yeah. I'm not a Tommy Fleetwood fan. I, in fact, love to make fun of Tommy Fleetwood and his fans. Shout out my boy, Jeff, who loves him. Shout outs. Rory missed perfect.
It's amazing how you never miss that. Somehow your eyes just know when Rory's about to gack
one. He's the biggest star in the sport. I should probably watch.
I'm just saying.
But
how dare they show him all the time?
No, I mean, I've never once said that.
I feel like I've heard that from you.
Not even close. Right, are you crazy?
Okay, all right. Okay.
He's the biggest star.
Okay, all right.
What was I saying?
We were just talking about how this leaderboard is decidedly unsexy, but you're talking about how you like rooting against Fleetwood.
I do like rooting against Fleetwood, but at this point, looking at that leaderboard.
Cheering for him.
He's like, he is a compelling player with the hometown story, a guy that's never won. Like, he is by far, looking at it right now, the number one story heading into the weekend.
So Antoine Rosner, not doing it.
Not for me. No. Thank you.
Minwoo Lee.
Like Minwoo.
Does a little for me, let's not try to oversell what that is.
Here. Yeah.
Okay. This guy who, again, I remember from a final round showdown that went exactly as you would expect at the WGC Mexico with Phil Mickelson. Shubhankar Sharma back in the mix.
I remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went about as well as it expected.
No.
And hopefully that happens to him. Michael Stewart.
Unaware.
He's Scottish.
Okay.
I think. Flags again. I shouldn't
Is it
guess.
The Blue Cross?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Scottish.
Yes. Okay, this one maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Wyndham Clark.
Yeah, I think Wyndham's earned my respect.
Okay.
I think he's definitely at the point now where it's like he's a guy. You win the U.S. Open in that fashion. You beat Rory. You beat Ricky Fowler. I think that's, you've earned my respect, Wyndham.
Adrian Otegu.
No.
The Spaniard.
No, that's going to be a hard no for me, buddy.
Emiliano Grillo.
Yeah, he's relevant. I've heard of his name before. He's a good player. He's been.
How do you feel about me morosing his name? Do you like that or no? I think you liked my joke. I don't know how you feel about me actually doing it, though.
I loved it.
Okay.
I loved it.
I know this is a yes. Max Homa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This guy's a no, but for the name alone, he's like half a yes. Guido Migliozzi.
That is a hell of a name.
Yeah.
But
it's like,
no.
Created in a lab in Sicily. Yeah. I mean, he's Italian. So. Yeah. Matthew Jordan, no. Our boy Christo.
Actually,
no.
Matthew Jordan,
hometown. He's a member.
Like, he's a member.
Yeah, boys were asking him for advice, and he was not giving it.
I would not. I'd be like, yeah, hit it. You see, on 18, right is great.
Right
go
there.
Right.
They
fade
say
right.
It's OB, but for members, it's not. So I'm going to play.
Favor the right side.
Could you remember? Could you imagine him just trying to play it? We don't play this OB. This is not OB when I play here. That'd be great by him. Our boy Christo.
Yep.
The heartbreaker himself, Stuart Sink.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan Spieth, for sure. Siwoo Kim.
I think, yeah.
And that's the top 10. Like, so, obviously, okay. It's more than 10.
But out of those guys that we need to have good days today for a compelling weekend.
Jordan
Spieth.
Need you, bud.
I don't like you, but
no,
need you.
Need you.
Need Tommy Fleetwood to play well. Max Homa needs to finish strong here.
I need it for me.
Financial.
Yep.
I think he needs to finish strong here. But outside of that,
no,
like, this
even
is not
like the heartbreaker
up.
Stuart Sink is not getting anybody.
No, it's not shaping up. Siwoo
right Kim, Ryder, yeah. Presence Cupper, not getting anybody going. Now, there are a ton of names that have not started their round right beneath them of guys you would be.
Okay.
So, like, I'm not going to say this one, but he's part of a group, so I will. Okay. Can't lay it one under. Ugh. Like, but it matters. Yeah. Like, yeah. Having him in the mix matters.
Where's Cam Smith at?
Do not have him here. Okay. Give me 1 second. Yeah. Koepka also at one under. Scheffler also at one under. Matsuyama also at one under. Shoffley also at one under.
Yeah, those are all relevant guys, and they haven't teed off yet?
They have not teed off yet.
Let's get a couple of those guys
like five or six
under today.
Hovland and Rory looked to be in the mix earlier. Rory now back to even for his round. Hovland won over, so they're both even. They're 10 shots back of where that is now. And then in terms of Cam Smith, let me just quickly pull up where he is. Yeah, it's not good that
Plus
I didn't
three.
See him. Plus one, has not teed off yet today. So he can, it's entirely plausible he goes out there and shoots something two under, has himself fake in the mix, and then you're going to need Brian Harman to come back down to earth. And that is not out of the realm of possibility.
No, he's pretty steady.
He's very steady.
That's the problem.
That is the problem. And he's not going to force it. He doesn't have the horsepower to force it.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a guy who's just kind of plotting around out there. And then that usually is a great
just
way to avoid big, big numbers.
On 18 and three. That's
praying
it.
For it, yeah. But he's a lefty, so you need him. You need him to dead hook it.
It's true.
It's like not even the slice coming
I was
into
say,
play.
That right OB on 18 would not see my ball that much.
Let me tell you who's it
I'd
would
aim
see.
Over the OB.
I would
and
be.
Let it cut right back
I would. Oh, well, I've done that. You have seen me. You've seen me aim over left OB all day.
Yeah.
Shout out to Royal Woodbine, where I cannot do that, and because of that, it causes me to have a panic attack every time I play there.
Do you want to listen to this John Rahm clip?
Yes. You. I actually still haven't heard it. I like have the vague context of it.
I'll
let you tee
here?
It up.
Here's John Rahm whining.
John, I hate to ask the same question about cameras that you just answered in Spanish, but could you explain kind of the frustration with that in English?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to walk, and there's way too many people on my way, and I can't go for what at my pace because they're on the way.
Simple as that.
Very simple. And then I'm walking off 18, and I'm trying to deal with my with the unlucky moment on 18, and there's somebody with a boom mic on my ass keeping up with Rory's pace, and I can't go on my own pace. So yeah, this is kind of the disregard that I existed. That's all.
Oh,
somebody's a little upset.
Do we have the
of me doing it?
Yeah, both of us. There it is. Thanks, buddy. Good job. Okay. So, can I do the worst thing in Sports Talk Radio?
Yeah.
I see both sides of this.
No, come on. Don't.
I do see more on his side. You know why? Because people that are making fun of him have never played a competitive round of golf. And
it's definitely something to that.
Like, I have walked off 18 playing with the fellas. Specifically, last time I played Lakeview, I had a great round going and I tripled 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked off 18. And if our boy Sanzi came up to us and came up to me, he was like, Sammy, can I get 5 minutes from you? I would be crotchety.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And to have John Rahm be one of the biggest stars in the world, one of the faces of golf, and feel like he's being completely disrespected by the biggest star in golf, I get being a little bit sour. Like, he's obviously jealous of the fact that they care more about Rory there, which I get it. He's a star. He mm-hmm. thinks he's a star. He feels that way. I get where he's coming from. There's all these people in his way. He can't go at his pace. He's a pro golfer. He wants to be in it. I know it's them's the breaks of being a star and playing with another star. But like after playing a terrible round at the Open, I get being pissed off. I understand his frustration.
It is just so clear as day. A guy who and this isn't the way he would phrase it, but it's definitely the way he's thinking of it, who has won not only one major more recently, but two majors more recently than Rory. An amazing player.
A lot of guys can say that.
An amazing player in his own right. Somebody who he considers as an equal, I guarantee, at the very least, with Rory.
Oh, yeah.
And it disgusts him that the fans do not treat him that way. And I hate to break it to you, bud. That's how it works. He's the golden boy, okay? You don't have to like it. You can hate it, in fact. And I kind of love that he does. I love that he doesn't bite his tongue. I have no problem with him coming out and saying all these things. But, and again, we're going to talk to Rocco and Rocco Mediate here in a couple of minutes. But that's what it's like to be in a final group with a guy like that. You know, I always use Bryson as the perfect example for this, but there's a lot of guys who, there is a big difference of winning when you come out of the fourth or fifth group or whatever it is, and being the front runner and having a huge gallery and having people all over you. And yeah, for a guy like Rory, is it 99.9% positive? Whereas for somebody like Bryson, it was probably much more 50-50. I get that. And I get Rom's frustration, but that's the way it works. It's the way it's always worked in the sport. How do you think the guys playing in a final group with Arnold Palmer felt when everybody's wearing Arnold? Like, it is a sport that we do not have jerseys for, and people were wearing Arnie's Army pins just to let everybody know we want that guy to win and not you. So it is just it's a guy who is used to always being a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. And guess what? If he's in pretty much any other group, and honestly, in any other part of the world, it's entirely possible he's treated that way, but you're not Rory. And I'm not even saying you're not the player he is, but you're not the face of the game the way he is. And that's the break. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I think we have to be careful with making fun of him.
I'm not.
A lot of people are.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not.
He's taking a beating for it. But I think a lot of, you have to be careful because, like I said, heated guy, says what's on his mind.
Love it.
Yeah, but like, you know, you can't immediately kill him for everything he said when he's willing to say stuff. And it's like, you want to keep him.
Yep.
You want to keep him like this.
I know you're not saying I am. I'm not killing him for any of this. I love the honesty. And the only thing I couldn't quite understand, and you know, maybe this is a lost in translation just in terms of just hearing it as opposed to seeing it. We know he answered the question in Spanish as well, is he mad at the gallery about that? Is he mad at Rory about that? Because I don't know, outside of...
He's mad.
Yeah, I understand he's mad.
He's just mad.
But does Rory, in your opinion, wear any of this?
No.
Like, he could go out of his way, I guess, to...
What's he supposed to do?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm just trying to cover off all my bases
here. And I bet you they're probably chums.
Oh.
They're Ryder Cup
guys. Ryder Cup guys. He's a PGA guy. He probably, never left for live. All that stuff.
I bet you there's multiple times throughout the round where Rory be like, ah, man, sorry.
Sorry. For sure.
It's not like it's Tiger where he like use it to his advantage. I'm sure Rory would say a couple words to Rom about it, and away they go. But yeah, I thought that was, I like that clip.
I do too.
They got a boom mic up my, you know.
I have always loved Rom pretty much from the jump of him coming on. I remember that video of him hitting the glow in the dark golf ball off the patio after he won the U.S. Open, and they were clearly having a party for him at whatever country club he belongs to.
It almost happened at Lacombe.
Yeah, no, it that's right. It almost did. I'm still upset that didn't end up happening. I know you did. I know you would have been all over it, the journalist that you are there. And it's funny, you mentioned the idea of like tournament golf, different, playing under pressure. I've never felt more pressure in my life than when we had our practice rounds at Lacombe, and of course I had to be the last group out. And there was a group of 15 plus handicaps that I've never met waiting to watch me hack a wedge out of a tree. And instead of punching out, which I would do as the punch out kid 100 times out of 100, I'm like, why not try to hit a flop over the tree, to the point where the gentleman who gave me a hat with his restaurant's name on it, I tried to give it back to him, Lido's, because quite frankly, I didn't feel I deserved it.
I got up and down in front of the boys.
I know you did.
For par.
I was jealous.
It was very nice.
Very jealous. I heard the roars and I was like, I got to go for it. Because the thing is that the idea of me being like, them being like, oh, it was a sensible punch out to the middle of the, no one wants to see that. Okay, go for the hero shot. And I did, and I failed.
So yeah, John Rahm. A fiery guy.
Love it.
And he is in a greenside pot bunker. So he'll be sour about that.
A lot of dudes could say that today. Yeah. A lot of dudes will probably be sour today. Two of them, not us, because we're going to talk to Rocco Mediate next. One segment left for us this week. One segment left on the Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Golf Show here, Brent Gunning, Sam McKee, trucking along on a major championship week, the final major of the 2023 men's golf season. Very, very happy now to be joined by our guest today, Rocco Mediate, former PGA Tour golfer and host the Rocco Hour, SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. Rocco, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
Well, it's a major week, and I'm working, but I have golf on in front of me, so I don't know. I'm a little conflicted here. You know, I'd like to be just on the couch. I mean, I'd love to be there if we're being really greedy, but yeah, we're doing well. Yeah. So, Rocco, before we get too into anything going on this week, I just kind of want to get an overall opinion from you on the idea of Lynx Golf, prepping to play it. Did you enjoy it? Was it a kind of arduous time of the season for you? Did you really like it? Where'd you fall on the idea of Lynx Golf, not just for this major, but any other times you had to or got to play it, depending on how you look at it?
I absolutely loved it because it's a whole different game over there, which is really cool. It's just mostly a lot of times it's along the ground. You're trying to fly something an exact yardage. You know what I mean? You're trying to fly it in an area. I think it's a little bit wet this week over there. I haven't watched a lot of it because I've been playing some, but it's so cool. I play, I think, 12 or 13 opens. I don't know. It's something like that, but I absolutely loved it. And it's a whole different game. You have to bring something else over there or it's going to beat you up. But someone like Watson, who won five, he never changed anything. He just put it in the air and flew it where he wanted to. And obviously it worked for him, but it's just a great place, and the people are phenomenal. So I haven't played this course. It wasn't on the rotation when I was on the regular tour, because I finished the regular tour in 13. So it looks really cool. I mean, obviously Tiger and Rory won there, but they hadn't had it there for a zillion years until Tiger won in whatever year that was, 06, I think.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask you what your favorite memory of playing at the Open was, because the guys always have amazing stories of playing over there, and I've never played overseas, and I'd just be interested to get your take or a story and your favorite memory from playing in the Open.
I tell you one thing, if I can describe it on radio, because it's interesting, but we were playing at Muirfield. This is 92, my second Open. So I'm, and by the way, Muirfield is, it may be my favorite of the rotation that I've played. I played two opens there. But anyway, so I'm coming up on 11, playing a practice round with that. I don't remember who, but it's a little short par four up the hill to drive out there, and you have like 70 yards to the hole. And this pin stuck up on this right like ledge, and it's 100% carrying a sand wedge up there, and hopefully you hit it the right distance. There's probably 30, 40 people around the green. It's early. It's kind of early. Mm-hmm. And it's me, so there's not one out there, no one out there watching.
Okay.
So I hit this beautiful sand wedge from 75 yards in it to like a foot, right? Not even considered a clap. I'm looking up there going, all right, okay, I get it. So I said to Kenny, I said to Warmy, my cat, he's like, give me another ball. So I took a seven iron. Just chipped it along the ground, rolled up there to like 5 feet. They lost their mind. so it's just the way, the way the game, like that, like 100 times out of 100 guys would have put a sandwich in the air there. Cause yeah. it's a weird, there's no wind blowing. It was nice. It wasn't, if it's firm, you can't hold the ball there. But anyway, hitting that little chip 7 iron and getting lucky to hit it on the green. Right. They lost it because that's the way they expect the game to be played. And it's really cool. I mean, they're knowledgeable. They're just, we have great fans in Canada and in the United States, but they're something over there that's a little different.
We hear it all the time in all the vignettes at the Open, right? It's a way of life. Everybody's so locked into it. And yeah, they definitely do appreciate a little bit of a different style over there. So I don't know if you heard, John Rahm had some comments about how difficult it was playing with Rory McIlroy. And it didn't sound like he was being critical of Rory, but critical of the crowds surrounding it. I mean, that is part and parcel of playing with great players. You know it better than anybody else. What is it like going from, And, you know, John Rahm is John Rahm. It's not like he has sparse crowds, but what is it like when you get thrown into that fire of playing with a guy like Tiger or what Rahm's experiencing with Rory?
Yeah, that John is a, first of all, I've got to, well, I don't know him that well, but I'm out at Silverleaf in Scottsdale where he is. So I see him every once in a while. He's wonderful. He's been very nice to me. But, and that surprises me he said that because he's tougher than nails, okay, this guy. And Rory brings Tiger and Rory. So let's just go to Tiger for a second. He brings chaos. That's what he brings. He brings chaos to rounds. And I adore and love chaos. See, so I never cared. I wanted it to be noisy. I wanted it to be, I wanted them to think they were pissing me off. They weren't. I was just getting fed by them because I love that stuff. And I didn't care if they were making noise. They're not going to watch me. They're out there to watch Tiger. We know this. And but with Rahm and Rory, I mean, they're out there to watch them both. Okay? You know, with Tiger and me, a whole different situation than Rory and John Rahm, for Christ's sake. You know what I'm saying? So they're out there to watch both of them. But sometimes the crowd wants someone to win, and they get a little out of hand. But you got to be able to deal with that. And I'm sure John can deal with it just fine. But who knows what the I didn't hear the comment, but sometimes it can get a little crazy. It can, but nowadays you got to deal with it because it's changing. It's changing. I mean, who played? Oh, by the way, let's just go back to your country for a second. How about the Canadian Open? Are you kidding me? I mean, are you absolutely? You can't write a director in Hollywood couldn't even come close to writing that script. Not even close.
No, that was
it was remarkable.
Me and my co-host Gunnar here were about 30 feet from the putt dropping. We watched him the whole day. It was one of the best sports moments I've ever seen in my life. It was unbelievable, Rocco. Yeah. I can't overstate enough how incredible that was. It was amazing.
Well, it was great for the sport too, but then I had to throw that in because it was awesome. But you know, just for an example, so Fleetwood's playing with Nick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nick Taylor, right? Yeah, yep. I got it. But I didn't hear a word that Tommy said about, oh my God! Of course, the crowd's going to be with Nick. Of course,
yeah.
He's a Canadian. It's the National Open. Yeah, they're rooting for him. So you know, that's just the way it is. But the Rory thing is weird. That was weird with both those guys because they're both the two, second and third, or something like that, player ranked in the world. So it's kind of weird.
So, as a guy who played professional golf for a long time, can you explain to people who are listening how hard it is to compose yourself in an interview right after playing a bad round of golf? Like I'm inconsolable with the boys if I double 18. Like, I don't know how you're supposed to go and talk to these people when you're pissed off about a round. That part of it has to play into it. No, Rocco?
100%. Because if you ask John, like, an hour later, he's like, yeah, I kind of was pissed. I overreacted.
Totally.
Yeah. Because John is he's as tough a person as you'll ever meet. I mean, you can throw stuff at him when he's playing. He won't care. So it's just a bad day, you know, and he's probably frustrated. And we all have done it. Trust me. Every one of us has done that.
Oh, yeah.
That's something we didn't really want to say. But and then we have to come back and say, well, and if you get it, like you guys just brought it up, that's cool. Because it is, when you're in the moment still, you know, it takes 10 or 15 minutes to get out of that feeling. Maybe more sometimes for people. But, but anyway, it's still going to be, I don't know how they're playing this morning. I didn't see, but it's going to be exciting weekend. Majors always are.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, you're not telling me anything I don't know, but you're preaching to the choir. Like, not playing, I have to compose myself when I come on and do a post-game show, and I'm particularly upset about the loss. And again, I didn't even play. So, yeah, for a guy like Rahm.
Right. I know what you mean. I mean, that's a great point you guys brought up because not a lot of people know that. You know, they're like, why do you act like such a blank? Why is he talking like that? Well, he just had a really it's a very, very exciting, you know, especially major championships, and you want to win those, and he's already won the show, so he was bad. That's all right.
No, totally. You know, looking at the leaderboard here, Brian Harman really separated himself today. 65, yeah. I believe. He's now 10 under, 5 shots clear of the field. You know, this is a guy who's been in positions before. He has won tournaments. Mm-hmm. But for a guy like him, this is a completely different animal, kind of lapping the field at a major. What do you think's going through his mind, and how's he going to sleep tonight?
Well, what has Brian won, once or twice?
I think he has a couple of wins, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's been a nice player for a long time. But one thing he does that if you look at statistics, he hits his ball good. Okay, he strikes it well. I mean, obviously he's a great putter. He's known for putting, but he hits it good. He just hits it good. So in this type of situation, that's really good because it's all about striking. If you can get around the golf course, especially a golf course like that, obviously he's doing a hell of a job now. Because I'm sure he's not making 50 footers ever. He has to be hitting it good.
Yeah, he is.
So if he continues to hit it good, then there's if he doesn't let anything interfere with what he's doing, then he's fine. But that's so hard to do. But he's won golf tournaments before. He had won a major. Not many guys have. So we'll see how he reacts. But there's no – they asked me about the – you know, I go back to the playoffs. I knew I was hitting it good. So I knew I could still I knew on the weekend I was going to be around if I kept doing what I was doing, hitting it good. And in majors, you have to – well, most of the time. Obviously, sometimes you can win those a different way. But this one looks like you got to have complete control of your ball around those – around the edges of those fairways and the bunkering and stuff, like, just like all opens. So that's where I'm looking at. I look outside that box and say, if he's hitting it that good, there's no reason he can't continue to do that.
Well, you mentioned it. We can't get you out of here without getting a tail from 08 there. Tiger and you, playoff, 18 holes. It feels like something out of a movie. I did watch it. I do remember it, but I don't think it was real. You can attest that it was. What was that day like for you and the whole weekend?
Well, it was the coolest thing ever, first of all. You know, being able to go for our National Open against the best guy in front of everybody and nowhere to hide. I enjoy those situations. I don't get in them enough. I wish I could do that more. I wish I did that way more. But it was just a challenge, you know, and it was like when I woke up that Monday, and people laugh when I say this, I knew in my heart I could beat him because I had him through the air. I was hitting it better. I hit it better than the field that week as far as on the greens and the fairways. So that's a huge deal at any major, especially an Open, a U.S. Open. So that's what I felt. But when you look back, the funniest stat that I've ever seen, it's funny. And it was the greatest day ever. The only thing I didn't do was get the trophy. It was still the greatest day ever. But he beat me 9 shots on the greens that day. Think about it. He had 9 less putts on Monday than I did. And I didn't putt that bad. I hit it okay, and I played pretty good, obviously.
Yeah.
And I got beat by 9, and I only lost. I lost some depth. It's crazy what that guy does. I still want to call him a kid because he's a kid to me. It's crazy what he did. It's crazy what he did.
Yeah,
it was the coolest thing ever. Actually, to tell you the truth.
That's — you kind of have to tip your cap in that scenario.
Just
like
a bit.
Oh my God! That's
absolutely.
Kind of tough to beat.
What are you gonna do?
No, there's not a whole lot you can do about that.
Rocco, we really, really enjoyed this.
Thanks,
thank you so much for jumping on. Love your tales and really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks. Anytime, guys. Take care.
There he goes. Rocco Mediate, of course. Many people remembering him from 08. He probably remembers fondly the 2016 Senior PGA Championship, which he won. So he is a senior major winner.
Love it. And he's also won 6 times on tour.
Good for him.
You know what
that is? 4 more than Brian Harman is what that is.
Yeah. Harman, I was just looking up Harman's stats
this week. 4 professional wins, 2 on the tour.
Okay, there you go. So he is — his stats right now, I think this is live from this week, I would imagine it being, right?
Feels right.
I'm not going to read it in case it's not. But his putting from 6 feet is first.
Yep.
92%.
He's a good putter.
His
he uses an obscenely large mallet. It's borderline offensive to me.
Bogey avoidance is second.
That's terrible. Like, so, I mean, it's great for him. It's terrible for us.
Terrible for drama.
We need —
come on, Brian.
Come on, Brian.
I know.
Stub your toe. Go kick a water cooler like Jared Kelnick or whoever. Travis? No, it's definitely Jared. I don't know why I wanted to call him Travis. Daniele was all over that. He's like, no, you idiot. It's not Travis.
So a couple more reading of where people are playing.
Reading of texts?
Yes. I love doing this. My favorite part of the golf show.
You got something to read?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead. Hit me.
On vacation. I can get into that. Oshawa Golf Club this afternoon.
Hot.
Which I've heard is really nice. I believe it's private, so if there's anybody that's listening.
I think so.
Stonehenge in Bowmanville, which I've also heard is really nice. And tomorrow morning at Black Bear Ridge in Belleville. In Belleville next week.
So we love Black Bear Ridge.
We played there. That was last summer, right? With my dad?
Sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just 3 of us. And we got toured around. We got showed their stay and play.
The Bocce Village.
The disc golf.
Yeah.
Which piqued my interest. It's a really, really cool spot out there. So it's really nice that they're that, you know, you're going out there to stay with the fellas or with your wife or with your family or whatever you're doing with the girls. It's a really fun place to go. So I love that. That's a hell of a vacation.
Yeah, it really
is. You must not be married, Dan, or she loves golf. One or the other.
Yeah, one of the two. Yeah. I don't know what the other way to go about it there is. Love that text. As soon as I saw Black Bear, had to get it in.
About to tee it up at the annual round with the boys at Penn Lakes in Font Hill. Jimmy from Smithville. I'm assuming that's a Seinfeld thing.
I don't know if it is. Maybe. I mean, it could be, but it could just be his name also.
Brandon from Orillia. I'm playing at Lake St. George this weekend.
Ooh.
Have you heard of that?
Just sounds fancy.
I know. I was going to say it sounds very, very fancy. So I'm looking it up right now.
Oshawa, for what it's worth, a golf and country club there, was an honorable mention of Score Golf's last list, 120.
Okay. Lake St. George
and get a couple of influence out there, and maybe you'll creep all the way up to 119.
Is in Oshago, so home of former Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
That's
producer,
right.
Matt Brown.
Fan legend.
I believe, yeah, some stories about that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, no, we'll just keep it to fan legend and keep it moving.
But yeah, it's up near Orillia, I think Oshago is.
Yeah, that sounds correct, actually. Yeah, yep. It definitely is up that way. Keep them coming. 590, 590. Include your name and location. If you got the sticks out this weekend, wherever you're teeing it, let us know.
Mary Ann texted me. My mom said she's not listening anymore because she's playing Legacy Ridge in Owen Sound.
Lovely track.
Oh,
I played
close
it.
To my heart. I know you have.
Me and your cousin, actually. Yeah. Well, you're like your cousin-in-law or however that works.
Tyler.
Yeah.
And Keegan.
Me and him both.
And my buddy Neil.
On one of the par threes. Cannot remember which.
Yeah.
Me and him both threw darts. And then I have a great pic of him both inside the leather.
Wow.
We had to putt out because birdie putts.
I think I remember what hole that was. It was number 12 over the water?
I have no comments.
No over the water?
I don't remember. I just remember it being a par three. Okay. I don't really remember. There's not a lot of, I wasn't super locked
in. There's no memorable holes?
No, that's not what I was going to say. Honestly, here's what I was about to say. I so thoroughly enjoyed that day. Love your bud Keegan.
Oh, yeah.
Had a great time with your bud Neil and your cuz there.
Shout out. To them.
Shout out to them. Shout outs are back. Shout out to Neil. You did your wonderful East Coast trip with him.
Yeah, he's the man.
But the whole time, I was just like, sure would be nice if McKee was showing me around this place. So that was what was happening there. I'll be honest in my head. But hey, it's okay. You had to have an existential crisis and panic attack.
Just literally sat on the couch and panicked watching college football the whole day.
I mean, there's worse.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, that's just called Saturday for a lot of dudes in America of panicking and watching college football. That's just called Saturday.
It's a great point by you.
Tommy Fleetwood, our man, our final hope, just about to get his final round going today. This will be great for the podcast, seeing as how, unless you listen to it right now, you already know the answer to this. What's your feel for Tommy today?
I think he'll go low again.
Hmm.
I don't think the heartbreak is ready yet. It's percolating.
Okay.
I think there's heartbreak looming for Tommy.
Okay.
But I don't think today is the day. I think he goes out there. He puts up a 67, a 68. Mm. He gets himself right back into the mix heading into the weekend. He's in the final pairing with Brian Harman tomorrow.
Okay. I could see a like 70, one under round, something like that. I don't think he blows himself out of this by any means, but I also don't know that he really keeps himself in the tournament there. I don't want to make it just about Fleetwood, though. We do have some other guys who can give us some hope. So of this group, it's really just two guys now because McIlroy and Hovland have been playing. But Koepka or Scheffler, also at one under. Both of them, they just got started. Yeah. I think they're on the
Scheffler
first hole now.
Scheffler literally just hit his first tee shot.
Okay, so of those two, I mean, easy to say Scheffler, I know, because he's been the best player in the world without a putter for the better part of six weeks now. Who do you think has a better day? Who do you feel more likely to inject themselves into this?
I will say Scheffler.
I agree. I think if Koepka finds himself in this, it is everyone else kind of coming back to him and him maybe slowly inching forward. Like, I don't think Koepka is in the mix heading into the final, for Sunday, unless this score gets back to five or something like that.
Agreed.
Whereas Scheffler, I can see a world where he goes out there and shoots 63 and is just right near the top of this. Not projecting it, but way more plausible for him to do that than the other.
So a couple more quick texts.
Yeah, of course.
Joey Mississauga going to leave for Portugal today, golfing. 2 weeks. Yes, baby.
Oh, this is not our guy.
I know. It's another guy going to Portugal.
We had a guy on the morning show who just sounded like me.
There's multiple Portuguese guys listening to Sports Talk Radio in Toronto.
Floored, I know.
And Robert and Barry, Settler's Ghost in Horseshoe Valley.
Okay, so I was just complaining about this when we were out west.
Mm-hmm.
Their names for courses are all so good out there.
Mm-hmm.
And ours are just name of town, creek. Name of place, ridge. Name of whatever. Like, it's very cut and paste. That's a good one.
It's a really good one.
Settler's Ghost.
I played it a ton.
You have?
Because I lived in Barrie.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Near Barrie. It's awesome. I haven't been there in a lot of years. It's probably been close to 8 or 9 years since I've been there. I made 4 straight birdies there once.
Congrats.
Yeah. The only time I've ever been above 2. I did 4 in a row. It was spectacular.
How
I shot 88.
I was going to say, actually, that does answer the question. I was about to say, did the birdie juice get flowing? And I bet it did. And then it caught up to you. Is what that sounds
no,
like.
No, I think that was pre-birdie juice.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a long time ago.
Wow, that would have been ages ago. Because you've had that thing in there so long as I've known you. So,
A-Boys listener, everyday listener for years. I'm a member at Lake St. George. It's a hidden gem. John from Cumberland Beach. So that's our second Lake St. George. Hey, buddy, if you're a member and you're looking for a couple guys to golf with, we like to drive places for golf.
We really do. It's among our most favorite things in the world. John Rahm trying to scratch and claw his way back to even par in this.
Uh-huh.
He's now back to 1 over, and he did not hit his ball OB on 18. So good start.
That's good. We like that.
We would. We would very, very much like that.
Nate and Sid are playing Cabot Cliffs Gym in Halifax.
I believe it.
And according to a source on the inside, that is true. And
okay.
This, my source may or may not have shaken hands with both of them.
Wow.
The other day.
Hope his hand's doing okay.
He texted me immediately.
I know the source.
Yeah.
So, he's a swolger too, so he'd be okay.
And that's fun. That's fun. That must be nice.
Yeah, that really is. That must be very nice for them.
And me.
And you?
Because I didn't play it.
Well, and it must be nice for them to be able to have like a guilt-free summer. Like, I know McKinnon's not happy, but it's like, you know, when you've won the thing, just allows you to take your summers just a little easier. Somebody is offering us a place to stay at their cottage if we're able to get on at Lake St. George's.
I got to write that
down. Buddy's weekend is officially on, McKee.
Ronnie, leave the door open, pal.
We're coming in hot, hot, hot. One other name at 1 under that I did want to give a little love to. I don't know why I didn't have him there. Matsuyama in that group with Koepka, also at 1 under. He feels like he straddles the line between Koepka and Scheffler to me. I feel like he has a little more likelihood to go nuclear the way Scheffler does, but I feel like he has a little / way less of the steadiness in him that Koepka does. He feels like the biggest variable of that group.
I liked
of three
him
right
at 61,
there.
66 to 1 to start the tournament. Didn't bet it. Didn't make one bet.
Are you going to jump on somebody after today?
Nah, I'll see what's going on the weekend.
Look at the weekend numbers.
Yeah, if Brian Harman's still leading and, like, you know, there's a couple good players 4 shots
you
back
can get
heading
a,
to Sunday.
Get a little Scheffler 4 shots back
if
action.
If I get like a 14 to 1 or a 20 to 1 on somebody decent on Sunday, I might do it, but I don't know.
This
is the least sexy tournament of the majors to me. And it's
that
like,
was me at the U.S. Open.
I didn't have
one bet going at the U.S. Open.
Neither
so, wow, what's happening to you? Become financially responsible?
Well, I won a couple. I won a bunch of bets on blood money.
Okay, you did.
With betting against the Leafs, so that's fine.
Boys, not golfing this weekend. Sad face. Home track is Parry Sound Golf and Country Club. Only 6,200 from the tips, but the greens will ruin you. Charles from Toronto. Love that there. I have not played that one. I've played Seguin Valley, which is in Parry Sound as well, but I've not played the Parry Sound course in and of itself.
There you go.
Little cottage country golf. Never going to go wrong there. Sam McKee, enjoy your nap tomorrow. Let everyone hear how happy you are about not waking up at the crack of dawn tomorrow. Just thrilled?
Happy.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Cannot wait to talk to you all next week. McKee will be happy about it. 12 to 3 coming up next. Jays Talk Plus. Thanks for listening to The Golf Show.